Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Real Christian hospitality is where you actually know your neighbor, not because of what he said on Twitter last night, but because what his lawn looks like today and you know he needs some help.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Dr. Rosaria Butterfield sharing what it looks like to practice Christian hospitality.
Real Christian hospitality is having enough time together so that you can, with respect and in privacy, ask and answer hard questions, and where you can show yourself to be a lover of his soul, a lover of her soul. We live in a world that so values the flesh. Everything's about the flesh. I noticed this when I had the privilege of seeing my mother come to Christ, literally on her deathbed.
More from Rosaria about why hospitality matters at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Hey, get in here. They're about to kick off.
I'm coming.
Boy, this streaming isn't very good. What kind of internet you got?
Satellite. This happens all the time. I'll go up on the roof and fix it. Hold my beer.
You think that's a good idea?
I got this.
Okay, so that's a bad idea. But if you live in a rural area and your internet connection isn't what it should be, it's a good idea to get Ranch Wi-Fi. Ranch Wi-Fi delivers big city speeds with small town customer service. Let Ranch Wi-Fi deliver fiber optic connections wirelessly that'll get you connected and keep you connected so you can stay in the game with the internet speed you need. They also have no data limits and no contracts, so you don't have to suffer with DSL or satellite. Ranch Wi-Fi delivers big city speeds with hometown customer service for the entire Central Coast, especially in rural areas. Get connected fast. Call Ranch Wi-Fi at 805-322-4555 or visit ranchwifi.com. Ranch Wi-Fi, delivering big city speeds to the Central Coast.
Hello everyone, this is Dora Carey with Orange Dot Quilts. My little shop recently moved to a larger location and the space is already brimming with gorgeous fabric, new patterns, kits, finished quilts, gifts, and so much more. Stop by to check out the new shop located at the corner of 10th and Pine in Paso Robles, right across from the police station. We are open Tuesday to Saturday from 11 to 5. At Orange Dot Quilts, we offer not only fabric but also sewing inspiration and quilting advice, and we are always happy to see you.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Now, the rest of the story. Do you remember what cigarette advertisements used to look like? It was much more aggressive in decades past. For instance, some ads actually invoke the endorsement of the medical profession. Let me read you an ad from 1950. It's a magazine ad. Shows a doctor wearing a white coat, holding a clipboard, a stethoscope clamped impressively about his neck. Above the doctor is this, in quotes, "Not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels." The ad goes on to say, yes, these were the findings of throat specialists after a total of 2,470 weekly examinations of the throats of hundreds of men and women who smoked Camels, and only Camels, for 30 consecutive days. Not one case of throat irritation. And beneath this is pictured one of the examination subjects. In a cartoon balloon, he is saying, "It was good to have the doctor's word on it, but I knew Camel mildness agreed with my throat from the start." And finally, at the bottom, "More doctors smoke Camels." That's what it says. Here's another magazine ad from the same year. In big block letters, it says, "Doctor, will you make this nose test?" It invites physicians to exhale Philip Morris smoke through their noses to see if it is not more pleasant than the smoke from their own brands. These cigarette ads, both of them, are examples taken from the May 27, 1950 issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association. But now, wait a minute, this is the rest of the story. Remarkable as it seems today, the AMA Journal once regularly ran cigarette ads. The publication even permitted representations of doctors in the ads, apparently offered official medical statistics, all employed in the vigorous promotion of smoking. Then came that historic day for the AMA, a scrupulously documented 8-page article, volume 143, number 4 of the journal, a crushing condemnation of smoking cigarettes. The article was entitled Tobacco Smoking as a Possible Etiologic Factor in Bronchiogenic Carcinoma. In short-sleeve English, what that meant was smoking causes lung cancer, and the statistics seemed incontrovertible. The study quoted in the article was based on 684 lung cancer cases. The article stated, "We can reject the null hypothesis that smoking has no effect on the induction of cancer of the lungs. Furthermore, the temptation is strong to incriminate excessive smoking, and in particular cigarette smoking, for the following reasons. One, it's rare to find a case in a male patient who has not been at least a moderately heavy smoker for many years. Two, the use of cigarettes is much greater among patients with cancer of the lungs than among others. Three, the sex distribution of cancer of the lungs roughly corresponds to the ratio of long-term smokers. Four, the enormous increase in the sale of cigarettes in this country approximately parallels the increase of carcinoma of the lung. And when it came to cigarette sales, the AMA Journal knew what it was talking about. For the scientific condemnation of cigarette smoking, which you have just heard, this expose of cigarettes as a cause of lung cancer appeared in the May 27, 1950 issue. That's the same issue which included the cigarette advertisements, which I have also described. But wait a minute. Those cigarette ads continued to appear in the Journal of the American Medical Association for almost 4 more years. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today we're having a very interesting conversation. We have John Roush of Park Cinemas. He was one of the primary people behind stopping the paid parking in the downtown. And for anyone that doesn't know what we're talking about, the city had pushed to have paid parking. They created a new layer of government that cost quite a bit. In the end, they were about $650,000 in the red on the cost of putting it together. And the downtown business owner said, you're cutting off the primary funding for cities is sales tax. And they said it's killing our businesses, and you're actually hurting yourselves also because you're not bringing in the tax revenue. The city council, 3 members did not agree, and they fought to keep it. They got rid of it, and now there's arguments of what goes forward next. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask our guest today?
Hello, Karen. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. First of all, I appreciate Mr. Ross's efforts on the paid parking. I was opposed to it for a long time. Thought it didn't make sense. But what I also wanted to talk about is the fact that when we're talking about people being held accountable, nobody seems to want to be held accountable for anything anymore. And when it comes to taxpayers, it seems like they're ignored first. They're just ignored and they're dismissed. And I think that that's a horrible thing because the taxpayers are ultimately the ones holding the bag. And so just like in this fiasco of paid parking, they're the ones who had to pay the bill. And nobody seems to care about them, especially some who still sit on our city council. And I think that's outrageous. And I think that somebody needs to be held to account for the disaster of that program, which is going to cost us, what, $1 million, maybe $1 million plus?
That's what I was saying earlier, that I do think somebody should be held accountable, and I actually truly believe that this city should hire an outside attorney to examine the whole situation and figure out which is the best way to go. But I need to also say, full disclosure, Karen, my daughters own the Park Cinemas now, not me. Their mother and I turned over their ownership to them. So all that I'm saying now is coming from me personally. It has nothing to do with the Park Cinemas.
I mean, you still support the downtown businesses and your daughters.
Absolutely. I'm on the board of directors. I'm a life of Main Street. I'm a lifetime board member. My goal is to make Paso Robles the most amazing downtown it could possibly be. That's everything that I'm for today.
Well, I appreciate Mr. Rosh, and you know, Karen, as we move forward in this election cycle, I would hope that the public would continue to, you know, advocate for small business, for smaller government, for holding people accountable in government when they're proven wrong, and that they're not dismissed as just being, well, I guess, troublemakers, because I've spoken out on a number of occasions in this city and have been ignored and have been dismissed. And so that's why I am a candidate for city council in the 3rd District, and I think it's time for a change.
And what is your name?
Michael Rivera.
Oh, hi, Mike. Didn't recognize the voice, sorry.
And I think it's going to be a very interesting election, because many members of the public, like John Rausch was saying, he thinks you need to vote out the old and vote in new.
Well, you know, Karen, our system of government has always been that, you know, community members get involved in their city government, they run for office, and we have turnover. But that we not turn over the reins of all decision making and outcomes to staff. Staff works for the citizens, and their citizen representatives are the ones who are supposed to advocate for the voters and the community members, and not for any particular groups or group, but for the community on the whole, to their best interest. So that's why I'm running again. I ran for mayor this last cycle. We got a lot of votes, and I hope that people will listen to my platform, or look at my platform, which is michaelforcouncil.vote, michaelforcouncil.vote, and look at my platform, and we'll continue to build and scale that website as time goes on, and I'll be out talking to many people.
Thank you very much for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask our guests today?
I'd like to say thank you to everybody who's worked on getting the paid parking program removed, John Rausch and yourself, Karen, and you know, KPRL, and just everyone, all the signature gatherers. It's been great that it's gone. My family and I enjoy it much more, going downtown and just not having to worry about, you know, renewing your parking time with the kiosk if you're out for a little long or what have you. But I was doing some quick math in my head when Mr. Rausch said $440,000, and I'm not going to hold him to that number. But I wanted to ask, how much was a parking ticket? Was it 30 or 40 bucks? What
it was $50. And you can hold me you can hold me to that $440,000, because that's directly off of the city financials on the parking. I can't remember the bottom line that included the $440,000, but it was like they had $100,000 profit, including the $440,000 of fines. If you take away the $440,000, they would have lost about $300,000.
Yeah, so quick math, 8,800.
Correct, 8,800 tickets.
Citations in a year, if that's $440,000 to that year, which is $25 for every day of the year, 25 citations for every day of the year. And so that little you know, the traffic cop running around there, the parking cop, that he was busy, and that he put a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. That people will not come back. That I was the unfortunate recipient of a parking ticket in San Luis Obispo years ago, trying to get back to my vehicle. We went out to breakfast. Breakfast took longer than we thought. No, and there was no kiosks or electronics back then. It was just the old-fashioned meters, and you know, I got a $33 ticket or something like that, and it just soured me. So
yeah, and that was our position. And again, parking's in the past now, so we can move on. But the reality was, every one of those people that got a $50 ticket, it was such an opportunity for them to say, "I'm never going back to Paso Robles."
Correct. And any group that gets together or something, you know, to push this, furthering this in terms of, you know, hiring a lawyer or whatever, I don't know, you know, maybe the city will do it, but I would get behind that financially, just to, you know, to really see the true outcome come out of that. I think the fact that they only had to go back 1 year, you know, the records didn't exist, you know how they cleverly hide stuff that way, I think we need to hold them accountable.
Absolutely, and the records do exist. The police department has them.
Yes. All right, well, thank you guys for everything.
Thank you for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Hi, good afternoon. Hi, John. This is Jan Albin. How are you?
Nice to hear from you, Jan.
Thank you. I think one of the most important things for people to look at is when you go onto the city website page and you just type in elections, you can see the people who are running for the districts. And I'll remind people that just a few years ago, nobody was running against the incumbents. Nobody was running for anything. But now there are tons of people who are running because there are tons of people who recognize something has to change here. And it's the Steve Gregorys and the Sharon Rodens that have to change, because these are some people who did a considerable amount of damage, not just to the city, but to the people of the city, in making them fight for as long as they had to fight to get what we needed. But, you know, there again, you've got people who are entrenched, you've got people who are beholden, and the number one person that they seem to be beholden to and take their cues from is the city manager. And he's the puppet master. He's the one who's dictating what's going on. And I would like to see that change also. And I think it can once we get some new, fresh city council people in there.
And most of everything you just said, I agree with, Jan. Karen and I actually were talking a moment ago about, she came to Paso, thought it was a sleepy little town. And I had to agree, you're absolutely right. A number of years ago, we were a sleepy little town, and we didn't have to worry about all this stuff because the city council was pretty darn good most of the time. Then it changed, and now it has to change to a different position, because this is not right, what's going down. Numerous things, besides the paid parking. You mentioned the city manager. The people, when they vote, need to look into how the city manager was hired.
They need to look into the FBO
choice, the fixed base operator at the airport.
Oh, the ACI, absolutely.
They need to look into the water situation. This water situation that's coming up is extremely important to the citizens, and they need to pay attention. And unfortunately, it used to be I was sleepy too. I never had a worry with the politics going on, and things lately have woken me up to say, I need to pay more attention, and I hope other people do as well.
All right. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you, Jen, for calling in. We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with John Roush.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The Federal Reserve is leaving rates unchanged. The Fed says the economy continues to expand at a solid pace and that inflation has eased but remains somewhat elevated. Here's Fed Chair Jerome Powell at his press conference Wednesday.
We are strongly committed to returning inflation to our 2% goal in support of a strong economy that benefits everyone.
He also says the employment rate rose but remains low and that a rate cut in September could be on the table. And the stock market responding very positively to the Fed's announcement. The NASDAQ finishing up 452 points, the S&P 500 up 86, and the Dow Jones ending up 100. NVIDIA shares surging almost 13% at the closing bell amid its peer AMD's positive earnings results. The chip giant also receiving a bullish call from Morgan Stanley analysts. And that's your Fox Business Report. I'm Laura Cantor, invested in you.
Donald Trump Jr. here. Since January of 2021, the cost of living has increased by 17.9%. You can't get that money back, but you can stop your losses by diversifying into a gold IRA from my friends at Birch Gold Group. To learn more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word SHELTER to 989898. That's SHELTER to the number 989898 to get your free info kit from Birch Gold now.
Message and data rates may apply.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solar Ponics. Barry from Cambria says, quote, Bill's presentation was great. He displayed an admirable depth of technical understanding of the system he was presenting. It was a pleasant experience. Thank you, Barry, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing 47 years of admirable displays of technical understanding. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners, it's time to schedule your solar panel cleaning. Spring and summer are maximum solar energy production seasons. Dirty panels can decrease production by 20% or more. Make sure your panels produce the most energy and save you the most money. Visit solarponics.com to get your solar panel cleaning quote. While you're at it, ask us about battery backup and storage. Get more out of your solar energy system. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. I have John Roush in the studio. We are talking about all the issues. My name is Karen Vealey. I'm your host. We're talking about issues with the city of Paso Robles. There are quite a few people that were very angry that the city council refused to listen to the public about paid parking. We are taking your calls, 238-5775, 238-5775. And now, where you usually have sometimes no one running for seats, there appears that there's going to be a battle over every seat on the council. We won't know until the 9th, that is the cutoff. And then we'll know exactly who is running, and we'll start having candidates on the show and allowing you to ask questions. John, what would you like to see in candidate? If you could have your ideal candidate, what type of person?
Oh, wow. Caught me off guard, Karen. I guess my most important concept for a candidate, for a city councilman representing our small town, is total, complete honesty, openness, transparency, that they are going to listen and understand that they don't know it all. That city councilman does not know it all. And I will point out to you all the businesses that showed up at the city council meeting against parking were business people. I've been in business for 50 years, and I told them as many times as I could, this is hurting our businesses. Here we have three city councilmen. One is a pistachio farmer, Sharon Roden. One is John Hammond, who owns an overhead door company, has never dealt with the public in a general day-to-day, hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute way. And one, Steve Gregory, is, to my knowledge, the only exposure to the public he has is when his wife owned Odyssey Cafe. They're making decisions against every businessman, every business person, sorry, don't want to be chauvinistic, every business person that came into that city council telling them that it's hurting. And they know better than anybody else. I want to find somebody that's going to listen to the people who know what's going on.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Hi, Karen. Hi, John.
Hi.
Can I just say that it's great to have a parking problem. That means we're thriving, right?
Absolutely.
And because of John and Norma, Paso Robles is what it is today, and people love to come here because of the small town atmosphere. They love it. So, John, I just wanted to mention that you didn't say the youngest Main Street board member.
I was being nice, Jan.
I'm the oldest, but you're the youngest.
That's true, Jan. I'm glad you admit it.
Right. Now,
and you're right. You're right, by the way.
Not only the downtown businesses suffer, but the outlying businesses also. And I know people were parking in front of their businesses because they couldn't park downtown. They didn't want to pay the money. So it was really interesting. Actually, let me first thank you again, John, for what you do for Paso Robles and the community. And I know you don't want to take credit for it. You just want to help the community, just as Gary Lehrer started, Lou, Dave, John, you with your daughter Jennifer, and Jim and Trish, and Dora and her husband, a handful of people. You can't fight City Hall. Well, you guys did, and you won.
Thank you, Jen, but I think that's important for everybody to understand that we can, as citizens, make a difference, and this proved it. And by the way, Jen, you're absolutely right. It's not a parking problem. It's a success problem. When parking is problematic, it's because we are successful. And that's what we proved, finally.
I loved it when going to the city council meetings where the city manager was on his phone constantly and our mayor and Mr. Gregory were so disinterested in what the people were saying. They didn't care. It was quite irritating. And business people working all day, going to the city council meetings, such as you do, John, because I know you work all day, even though your daughters run the theater, I know you have a lot to do. We weren't paid to be there, to voice our opinion about we don't want paid parking. But the staff was paid, weren't they? All the people, I don't even know how many, we fill that place how many times with people just talking about how they didn't want the paid parking. I met a young woman. She was a young mom from Heritage Ranch, and she had four kids. The littlest one was 3 months old, and she said, "Do you know, my kids wanted to go to the downtown, and we wanted to eat at a restaurant." She said, "Do you know how much of a hassle it was to try to, first of all, find a kiosk, to use the kiosk, and to have a baby in her arms? So now we're making young mothers very, very happy."
I agree. And like I said, parking is in the past now, so we need to move forward to the future. So I invite everybody out there that doesn't know yet that we don't have paid parking, come on back downtown. I know you avoided it in the past. We love your business. We love you. We want you to be in our downtown and having a really good time along with everybody else.
And Jan, I wanted to mention one thing that you brought up, which I have been watching council meetings as a reporter for decades. And I will tell you, 20, 30 years ago, you went to a council meeting and they did the public's business and got out quickly. You have a bunch of staff members that are getting paid hourly or are paid to be there. But now you go into a council meeting and they usually spend about 20% of the time on resolutions. And then sometimes they spend another 30% on how wonderful staff is, You know, we had a fire over here, and they put it out, and thank you so much for doing your job. And you get through this thing, and it runs hours and hours and hours, and it's all platitudes. I do like the fact that the city of Atascadero about 6 months ago said, we're done. We're not doing resolutions anymore. And there were a number of groups that came
proclamations.
We're not doing them anymore, the proclamations, because it just takes up time. And there also are resolutions. They do a resolution and we support this group. They had a resolution they would support Gala during the Gay Pride Month. And a number of people came in and said, no, you got to come back and do that. They said, no, we're not doing it for anybody. It's not your group that we're not supporting, but that's not our job. Our job is to do the people's business. It is not to tell people who they should support or what they should do. And I do believe it's very costly to spend so much time on things that have absolutely nothing to do with government business.
Oh, boy, did you say a mouthful, Karen? Oh, my goodness gracious. I totally agree with you. How do they waste time so easily and boring? I mean, people need to be thanked, you know, for what they do. Look at this handful of people that got the no parking through. I mean, they don't want a pat on the back. They don't even need to have, you know, anybody say thank you. They do it because of the community. So let's think about the community, and the city council is not thinking about the community, and you're right. Atascadero is brilliant. For them just shutting that down, that's fantastic. I love that.
And
I didn't know that.
Is new, and this has been going slightly more over the years. You know, and in the old days, they would usually have one big party a year where they would thank everyone that did something. Joe's retiring, so, you know, they'd have one big banquet a year where they would thank staff that had retired or thank somebody that did, you know, a firefighter that saved a kid. But they would do that once a year. It wasn't this every meeting to have a section of the meeting to talk about how wonderful people are.
Yeah. Boy, I totally agree. And let me tell you, I'm following your, I did your first letter and then your second letter, and on what you're talking about with Adam Hill. Oh my gosh, things have popped up that have really surprised me. So I can't talk about it, but yeah, you're doing a good job. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask our guest today?
Well, Karen, we have a new problem. They want to pass a extension of the sales tax, open-ended, no sunset clause like they have on the current tax, sales tax. And at least Atascadero is smart enough. They are trying to extend their sales tax, but with a sunset clause. Anybody that's going to vote for an open-ended tax that never ends, you think the city is going to, the people are going to vote for that? I hope not.
I might point out, from my understanding, the reason they don't want to have a sunset clause is they want to bond the money to raise a lot of money in the beginning, supposedly to fix the roads. However,
I said if they put a 5-year sunset clause on it, could they bond? And he said yes.
Well, you may be right, and I'm not arguing that, but I have been told that they could put a 20-year sunset clause, and they could definitely bond. But keep everybody voting in our city.
Sunset clause. They want it open-ended.
More important to me is every person in our city should understand that this is not designed to go just for the roads. This goes into the general fund now.
That's right, John.
They now can spend the money on whatever they want. Whereas the half-cent sales tax, which expires, I believe, at the end of this year, was dedicated to the roads. So when you're voting to pay your money,
only reviews it after they spend it.
Right, and when you're voting to agree to pay your money to the city, keep in mind what they're changing. And I think you ought to take a look at it. Everybody out there really ought to look into it.
Yep. Okay, have a good day.
Thank you for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Hey, Karen. Hey, John. You know, I used to love Paso Robles. It was great. Remember they used to have the car show there? With people from all over would come to the car show, and they decided not to have it because of the crime. And then they do the paid parking, and that throws so many businesses out of business. And I remember also the quota tickets that were put on by some female chief of police in Paso Robles. Remember that? That hurt. But, you know, I've been talking to a lot of people from there. I know a lot of businesses there. You know, the fair receipts were down. I know people were at the fair. They said the receipts. One was saying it was half what it was last year, and another was saying it's three quarters. The water park's not doing that well. They say they're not busy at all. I know four people at wineries, and they're all saying that their tastings are down, and also they're getting people dropping left and right from the wine clubs. You know, there's a major recession out there, and then Paso Robles is doing things, other things to drive the business away. I know going to John's Theater, I'm sitting there thinking, well, how much money do I have to spend to go to John's Theater to watch a movie for 2 hours and 30 minutes and put it in this kiosk and find the kiosk and what time am I getting out? And, you know, just ruining business in Paso Robles, unfortunately. It used to be such a beautiful city, but now I kind of look at Paso Robles and especially its government as being basically a dumpster fire. And until they put that dumpster fire out and get rid of three individuals, I'm talking about the mayor, I'm talking about two city councilmen and the business manager. And I don't understand how they put Ty in the business manager. I'm not saying anything bad about him as being chief of police, but how would you have qualification to go from chief of police to being a business manager of a city? They're just like two different elements.
I won't comment.
and there, you know, it is a far stretch, especially there's so much more the requirements. So the city has to do the basics. They have to do the public service, you know, the taking care of, you know, like police department, fire departments, water, roads, that type of thing. But government, state government, keeps giving more requirements. It is much harder to be a city manager than it used to be. And for a city of this size to hire someone with no experience managing a city, I was a little surprised also.
Well, I'm calling for all those people that I just mentioned to resign, because they've obviously done a poor job of it. There's a lot of people that only want to come to Paso now. Another friend of mine wanted to come to visit Paso and go to the wineries, but then they found out they got to pay $350 to $400 for a hotel room. And, you know, they can go to Vegas for $189. And, you know, it's just they're pricing themselves out. And you can see that what I just told you about the fair, the water parks, and the wineries. So a lot of businesses are being hurt, not just John's business. And I feel sorry for John because John's a hardworking man, you know, in a business where you have diminishing results because a lot of people don't have the money to pay for a $10 ticket to the movie theater anymore. So, you know, I just think that the city council needs to be replaced in Paso Robles with a business-friendly city council. And, you know, just go to northern Paso Robles right now, over by where that homeless shelter is. All those businesses are going out of business because of all the theft over there. And you go to drive that road, the road right there by the old Hotel 6, is filled full of potholes and looks horrible. I mean, I thought I was driving through downtown L.A. Skid Row when I drove through there. It's pathetic. I mean, is that what people want Paso Robles to be? Should we be having a homeless shelter that just all it does is attract crime and drive business out? I mean, how much taxes do these homeless people pay?
Thank you very much for calling in. I will say what has happened with government is it used to spend about 40% of its money, percent of its revenue on roads and infrastructure. And over the decades, it's gone down to about 2 to 4%. And then they look instead at just continually raising the sales tax. But I think I've said this before. The point of this is, if you have a 10% sales tax and it's you buy a $10,000 car, you get $1,000 in tax. If the cost goes up to $70,000 for a car, you get $7,000. You do not need to raise taxes to cover higher costs because the biggest funding is on sales tax. That goes up with, you know, the amount of sales tax goes up when things become more expensive. But a lot of people are having more trouble making it right now, and there are people very concerned when they're having trouble paying their bills that they're wanting to raise the sales tax.
I totally agree. The cost of everything has skyrocketed over the last few years, and it's difficult for people to buy groceries today. I'm just shocked when I go to a grocery store, which I don't do that often, but I do once in a while. And I'm absolutely shocked at the cost of groceries today.
And it also isn't going up randomly on each item. There are sometimes you look at an item and you bought recently and it's doubled in price. But we're going to take a word from our sponsors and be back with more with John Rauch.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com. Paso Robles Glass is exclusively presenting the new Milgard Trinzic Series windows and doors. If you're looking for a vinyl window frame that is contemporary with modern crisp lines, you'll love the new Trinzic Series from Milgard and Paso Robles Glass. Give your home a clean, sleek look with less vinyl and more glass to enjoy your view. Whether it's new construction or replacement, Paso Robles Glass has a window for you. And remember, they are the replacement window masters. Call Paso Robles Glass for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzic windows and doors. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014. That's 238-4014 for Paso Robles Glass.
Get it fast, save some cash. Paso Glass is where it's at.
Hey, Paso Robles, it's Jimmy Purdy with Shifting Gears Auto Repair, and it's time to smooth out your ride. With all the road repairs happening around town, your suspension and alignment might be taking a beating. So bring your vehicle down to Shifting Gears Auto Repair at 1621 North River Road. Our expert technicians will give your suspension and alignment a thorough checkup to keep you driving comfortably and safely. Don't let those bumpy roads ruin your ride. Schedule your next appointment today at 805-238-6202 or online at shiftinggears805.com.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Get ready to throw down Friday and Saturday nights at the Tattoo Palace Casino Resort. Because we're taking it back to the playground with Richie's Rock, Paper, Scissors. Two lucky winners get selected every hour from 5 to 8 p.m. for a chance to win $1.5 million in cash. Every 100 points earns you a ticket into the drawing. See TattooPalace.com for complete details. So what are you waiting for? It's $1.5 million, baby!
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. Tomorrow, we will have San Luis Obispo County Supervisor John Pashon. We're going to go over a number of things going on in the city. We are going to talk a little bit about there's a court case going on right now against people that were bribing Adam Hill. And we are reporting on a lot of information is coming out about things that happened in the county. Information is coming out in the case records. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about issues going on at the county and other things tomorrow. But today I have John Rauch. He used to own Park Cinemas. His daughter now owns it. He was a primary person behind stopping the paid parking in the downtown. welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to say to our guests today?
Hi there. First of all, Karen, thank you for your reporting. Really appreciate it. John, I actually used to work for you in the 90s at Oak Creek Cinemas years ago when I was a young man.
And who are you? Tell me who you are. I might remember.
I know how invested you are in this community.
Thank you.
But the reason I'm calling is to echo what some others have said. Thank you. You didn't just do this for the businesses. I've listened over the past year or so, and I know this. You've done this for the community members as well. If my four-year-old, as we pass the downtown park, says, "Hey, Dad, can we stop and go to the park?" I don't have to think twice about if the machine's going to be broke or walking to the machine. If I just want to stop in the park for 10 minutes, we do it again. So if I want to stop and buy something at one of the shops, I don't think twice. I just stop. So it means a lot, even if I'm not going down there to patronize a business, just to go to the park. It means a lot for what everyone's done, especially you.
I want to thank you because I thank you for recognizing that I do care about this community and that it is for not just the businesses downtown,
right?
But especially for the residents, which leads to the businesses downtown.
It does. It does. But thank you. Okay.
Can we get a first name?
Yeah, Calvin.
Yeah. Don't remember Calvin. Sorry, my friend.
It's fine.
That's a long time ago.
Almost 30 years ago, but thank you.
Don't date me. Come on.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
So where was your first theater that you operated?
Long story, Karen. I started at the Fremont Theater in San Luis Obispo as an usher, then assistant manager, then manager of the Madonna Plaza Theater. And then I went partners with my boss at the Madonna Theater and the Bay Theater in Morro Bay. Then the Atascadero, Plaza Twin Cinemas in Atascadero, which became Century Cinemas, then was torn down and became now Colony Cinemas. Then the Oak Creek Cinema, Fair Oaks Theater in Rio Grande. And then the Oak Creek Cinemas in Paso. And then I built the new theater in Paso.
You have been busy. Welcome to Sound Off. What do you want to bring to the conversation?
The source of the problem was the businesses and the employees parking in front. What has been, what's going on with that? What changes are being made for that? The business owners, are they discussing it with the employees now?
We are working on it through Main Street. We're trying to get the word out to the business owners. It's important that they step up to the plate and get their employees to understand to park as far away as possible. But I just need you to understand as well, they never gave a place for the employees to park other than they took away the parking lots that the customers were using anyway on Railroad and 12th Street and Marv's Pizza parking lot and next to Petit Canal. On Spring Street, they took those away and made those employee parking lots, which they had to then pay for a permit. But those lots were always used by the customers anyway. So they really never created any spaces for employees to go to where they could park. So it was it's still up to the businesses today to understand how important parking is for everybody, not just their business, and to get their employees to work with us because they're part of the team. They're important to us and we're important to them, and we want to be successful and in turn make them successful and get our customers back.
I agree, it's a difficult situation, but I would say putting a 2-hour limits or something, you know, so that people, you know, if employees can't park there all day, you know.
Oh, we've talked about timed parking or time limit parking. There's a lot of things still being discussed now. We have a group that we're working on trying to acquire properties to create parking lots. Again, that has to be carefully thought out so you're not taking up property that could be used for a business that might help out the downtown. Obviously, we're doing everything we can. At the moment, it's even tougher than you think. There's approximately 100 parking spaces which are closed off for either construction or being used by construction vehicles. There's 47 spaces in front of and to the side of Hotel Ava that are completely blocked off at this time. There's 10 spaces on Railroad Street that they're remodeling the building in the middle of Railroad Street between 10th and 12th, plus all the construction workers who are parking in spaces to go to work at these places. So there's a lot of parking right now that's being used up for the construction, which, hey, it happens. It's not an ideal situation, but it'll be overdone with soon, and we'll get those spaces back, which will be helpful to everybody.
I love that park and the businesses around. It's nice. As opposed to Tascadero, what the park is surrounded by is dentists and that sort of thing. So kind of sad. Yeah, I like Paso Robles for that.
We have the best park in Paso Robles, but I do think the Sunken Gardens and the Tascadero is a beautiful little park. And you're right. The problem is over the years, for many, many, many years, people have been buying up those houses. They're actually houses around the park mostly,
yeah,
or around the Sunken Gardens, and they've turned them into medical offices, et cetera. One of these days, somebody will have an idea of what to do in a Tascadero that'll work better. We hope that we'll always have the best downtown for sure.
It's really nice talking to you. Thank you so much. Have a good
Thank
day.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for calling in.
I said that.
And that's one of the issues was this was done for the right reasons. The beginning of this was done because there was an idea that there was an issue with parking. But then the problem became, if you go back and you look at the minutes of meetings from 2019, it was immediately clear Ty Lewis was with the police department at the time, and he really was promoting it. This could be a revenue stream through tickets to get more police officers. So it kind of left from being, what do we do to just make sure that we bring in as much, help the businesses to have as much business as they can into a revenue stream for the police department, and the main focus was lost.
Oh, absolutely, Karen. And I have to make it very clear that that's my problem. And it was my problem then. It's my problem today that this city council is not listening. In the very beginning in 19, oh, goodness gracious, I forget now, 98? No, 2000 something. Anyway, when they first started the paid parking, the businesses were all there. We were there. 90% of the businesses that responded to their questionnaire did not want paid parking, and they decided to do it anyway. So they weren't listening to us then. Then they didn't listen to us the next year, or the next year, or the next year, or the next meeting. Every single meeting, not one time did they listen to us. It was always their way, because they knew more than us. And that's not who I want as a city councilman. I want somebody who's going to listen and is going to find out the right information.
You know, San Luis Obispo for years had two-hour parking. And not everywhere, but there's certain parts that were real busy. They had 2 hours, so they just, it said two-hour parking, and they'd put a little yellow crayon on the back or chalk on your tire, and if you didn't move, you'd get a ticket. But when they went to the paid parking, I have seen an absolute decline in the city of San Luis Obispo with paid parking, and the downtown has lost its ambiance. I want to thank you very much for coming on the show and giving everybody an update on what is going on in the downtown. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Karen, and I didn't know I had so many fans out there.
And thank you for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with John Pichon.
This hour of Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL and 99.3 FM was brought to you by Farm Supply, serving your fencing, irrigation, and livestock needs since 1950. Farm Supply, for the farmer in you.
AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.